All right, good evening, everyone. Let's begin. So first of all, a welcome back. It's been a little while since we have had our Wednesday night parsha share. Hoping that everyone, I guess we had a Yamim Nora in series in between, but it's been a little while since we focused on parsha Shavua. So hopefully, Amir Hashem, this will be the beginning of hopefully a successful and meaningful and enriching session. So we begin with number one. Vayomer Hashem el Avram, lech locha me'artzecha, so we begin with the opening psukim of this week's parasha, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avraham Avinu when he says, leave your land, your birthplace, your father's home, and go Ela Aretz Asher Areka, and go to the land that I will show you. Ve'escha l'goy gadol, I will make you there into a great nation. Ve'avarechecha, I will bless you. Ve'agaloh shemecha, I'll make your name great. Ve'yebrocha, and you will be the very essence of blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse those that curse you. And through you, Avram, all the families, all the nations of the world will be blessed. So, opening section of Parshas Lech Lecha, of course, again, fraught with incredible excitement, tension, unknown, uncertainty. What I want to draw your attention to is number two. So, on Avos Rabbi Nosson, so we write, Aser Nisyonos Nisnasa Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was tested with 10 tests. Now we know, of course, what's interesting. Everyone knows Avram Avinu was tested with 10 tests. What's interesting to note is there's a fascinating dispute as to what comprises those particular 10. So here the Avos Rabbi Nosson writes, Va'amad Bakulam, Avram Avinu passed all of them. Lohodia Kama Hi Gedulaso Shel Avram Avinu. And this teaches us the greatness of Avram Avinu, meaning if somebody has a test, he passed one test, he passed two tests, but to pass 10 tests is incredible. So says the Medrash, Ve'eluhin, and what was the first of these tests? Bo'ar kastim, lech lecha, me'artzecha, umimoladitcha. So this, the Avos Rabbi Nosson reflects the view of most commentaries, that indeed the first of Avram Avinu's 10 tests was lech lecha, was the command to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get up, to leave his homeland, leave everything he knew, and to start again. And remember, of course, the test is compounded by the fact that what? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not disclose what? The destination. So I want to pose what might sound like a little bit of a strange question. But, you'll excuse me, what's so great about this test? Meaning, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to you, now assuming that you know that it's God speaking to you, right? Which, of course, is a whole discussion of itself. But Avraham Avinu obviously understood that it was the Ribbono Shel Olam who was speaking to him. If God says something, God comes to you and he says, listen, here's what I need you to do. I need you to pick up and go, but I give you my divine guarantee that not only is everything going to work out, but everything is going to be spectacular. Everything is going to be perfect. The truth is there any one of us that wouldn't take that deal in a heartbeat? We spend our life, what's the greatest source of anxiety in life? True, that's a very open-ended question. But one of the greatest sources of anxiety in life is we have no assurances. No assurances, right? We go ahead, remember, this was the punishment of Adam and Chava for the sin. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Adam, you know what's going to happen? You're going to plant wheat, and what's going to happen? Vikots vidardar, and thorns and thistles are going to sprout. So the Mefarshim say, you know what that means? That's a metaphor. What it means is in life, you can put in all the right effort, and yet what? You still may not get your desired results. You may plant the wheat. You may water it. You may cultivate it, nurture it. But you may not get the results. That's the great variable of the human condition. So here, you know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Avraham Avinu? There's no variable. There's no doubt. I'm giving you a 1,000% divine guarantee that everything is going to be perfect. Under those circumstances, what is so difficult about this test? And remember, let's compound the question. Avraham Avinu, as we'll see later on, was already alienated from his childhood home, was already alienated from the culture in which he grew up. He rejected polytheism. He rejected idol worship, which by definition put him on the outs of society. So he's already a man without a people, without a country, without a homeland. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, listen, follow me. All right, I'm not telling you where, but I swear to you, God says, that it's going to work out perfectly. So what exactly is the difficulty in the Lech Lecha test? So tonight, in Mirat Hashem, we're going to analyze four different approaches. So we begin with the simplest approach of the Kli Yachar. So the Kli Yachar writes, 3 Aleph, Vayomer Shem al Avram, Lech Lecha, Lech Lecha, Ma haya hamikra chaser, im haya omer lech lecha, ela aretz asher areka, v'lama hiskir pratim elu, me'artzecha, umimoladitcha, umibeis avicha. So the Kli Yachar asks a textual question. Kli Yachar says, the pasuk seems to have extra words. Just say, lech lecha, ela aretz asher areka. Go to the land that I will show you. Why do you have to have all of these other statements? Artzecha, or words. Artzecha, from your land, moladitcha, your birthplace, Beis Avicha, father's home. Just say, get up and go to the base. I'm going to show you. So the Kli Yachar says something amazing. 3 bays. The Nir Lefarish, Sheheetiku HaKadosh Baruch Hu Me'inyan Le'inyan, Kederech Shemachanchin HaTinok. So the Kli Yachar says, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu dealt with Arum Avinu, in the way in which you literally, Mechanchin means educate. But it really doesn't mean educate over here. It means in the way in which you guide a child. Ki ulai yihyeh kasha alav, Lekabel hakol bevasachos. Now, I happen to think that the Kli Yachar, I don't know why he said a child. I think it's true for everyone. What's the hardest thing in life? Change. Change is the most difficult thing in life. Most of us reject change. Sometimes we actively fight against change. Sometimes we don't even realize it, but we're passive aggressive against change. And the truth is, even if change is objectively good, change is scary. Change is the unknown. So what's the best way to embark upon the process of change? Best way? Gradual change. Gradual change. By the way, we know this, you know, we're still, I figure like this, we're still closer to Yom Kippur than to Hanukkah. So we can still speak about Yom Kippur. This is the whole idea of tshuva. So, you know, Rav Kook, we actually spoke about it on Shabbat Shuvah, that Rav Kook has these two different models of tshuva, of tshuva pitomis and tshuva hadragis, instantaneous change, and ultimately again gradual change. So we know that sometimes when people try to undergo instantaneous change, it backfires. Because if you take on too much, if it's too dramatic, it's not healthy. Some people could do it, but most people cannot. What's better is gradual. So says Rukhli Yadar something amazing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an expert in human psychology. That's what happens when you're the creator. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Denise. What is Lech Lecha in its essence? It's dramatic change. So how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu guide Avram Avinu along the process of dramatic change? Slowly. Step by step, incrementally. And look what the Kli Yachar writes, paragraph Gimel. He says, Kimitchila bikesh mimeno la'azov artso. V'zu she'le ketana. So what does God start with? Lech lecha mi'artzecha. Leave your land. Leave your country. And the truth is, in the scheme of things, this is not a very big request. He says, Ya'an ki'ein lo'adam to'alas mi'artso. Yose mi'artso sacheros. So if somebody asks me to leave my country, it's difficult, but the truth is, I'm not as tied to my country. The only difference to my country is I know how it works. I know I speak the language, I understand the culture, but there's nothing personally of mine that's vested within the country in which I live. So the first day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and what's interesting is it's actually reverse order. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember, again, it would have made most sense to start where?
From his family.
From your family, on Beis Avicha. That's where you're taking your first steps. We'll see why it doesn't start there. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is he slowly breaks the change to Avram Avinu. You know what? I have a good idea. You should really get out of your country. And Avram Avinu says, okay, not such a big deal. Paragraph Dalit. V'achakach. Now, after Avram Avinu has already accepted the fact that he's going to have to leave his country, so what happens next? Amar penya nafsho kshura ba'anshe toldoso. Sheyesh lo ktas ezer v'sad mehem. Kederach ha-mishpachos sha'echad nichnas ba'obe akora. Ba'ad shar b'saro, she'er b'saro. Ve'lo yitnu l'zare mokom limshol bohem. V'zeh to'el es ktas min arishon. What does God tell Avram Avinu next? Next is moladitcha. Now, a person is a little bit more connected to their birthplace. Why? Because in your birthplace, everybody knows you. In your birthplace, that's often where your extended family is. So to ask me to leave my birthplace, that's already a little bit more difficult. But it's okay. We're taking this incrementally, step by step. So he's told Avraham Avinu, leave your country, a little bit easier. We're getting a little bit progressively harder. Then afterwards, leave your birthplace. Until finally, hey, v'achar shenispata, after Avraham Avinu agreed to leave his country and agreed to leave his birthplace, then what does God say to him? V'zecha shash pentidbak nafsho, the base of it. Now, what God was most concerned about, the part that would be most difficult to Avraham Avinu would be what? Well, leaving the house of his father. Why? Now, this is interesting. So you would think, of course, because family's family. The Kli Yakar has a much simpler reason. What? He says, "Sheyesh sham to'eles nosaf al kol elu v'hu to'eles mamon ki bayis v'hon nachalas avos." You have to understand something. What happens when you leave your father's home? What happens when you go to another country in biblical times? You are out of the will. You're out of the will. Again, not because anybody's braggish with you, but because ultimately, it's not, again, understand that moving from Aram Naharaim, right, to leaving from Haran to ultimately go to Canaan, that was it. You're done. People aren't going back and forth to Shabbos. You're not going for a holiday weekend. That was it. So by ultimately leaving his father's home, what he is also doing is giving up any financial entitlement. Understand that that is a very big thing, because Avraham Avinu is now being asked to give up, but also financial security. Even if it's not such a big deal to move away from your family, some people need a little bit of distance from their family, but ultimately giving up the financial security, that's a very big deal. So the Kli Yakar really teaches us something quite amazing. That in the opening section of this test, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing, according to the Kli Yakar, you know what the test of Lech Lecha is? The test of Lech Lecha is the test of change in life. Change is never easy. And you know, even if God himself, b'chvodo uba'atzmo, assures you that everything is going to be perfect, beautiful, and wonderful, change is difficult. And if it's difficult to Avraham Avinu, who has divine promises, then of course, again, remember, what is Sefer Bereishis? What is all of Sefer Bereishis? Beginning. Absolutely. What else? Right? And remember, it's the Ma'aseh of Osim Labanim. Sefer Bereishis is really an incredible metaphor for the human condition. Whereas Sefer Bereishis and Sefer Shmos also both really foreshadow our national existence, Sefer Bereishis very much foreshadows the nature of the human condition. So according to the Kli Yakar, this first test of Avraham Avinu was not specifically Abrahamitic. It wasn't Dafka, a test that was uniquely molded to Avram. It was a test of the human condition. And the human condition is, we don't like change. There's a whole, by the way, there's a whole reason, not for this year, but there's a whole reason why we don't like change. I often thought that it's really rooted in the fact that Adam and Chava had a dramatic change in their circumstances, that ultimately they were supposed to be in Gan Eden, and then ultimately that reality was swapped for something else. I think over time embedded in the psyche of man is this notion that change always brings apprehension, because look what the original change brought. The original change brought death. The original change brought suffering. The original change brought difficulties. The first change was not for good, did not work out very well for humanity. We are still saddled with the baggage of that change. Says the Kli Yakar, that's the test of Lech Lecha. The test of enduring change in life. And no matter how many promises or assurances you have, change is difficult. Which then leads us to approach number two. And again, as I always mention, these approaches, of course, are not mutually exclusive. They can all work very beautifully in concert together. So look at number four. And in number four, we're fast-forwarding a little bit. Later on in the parasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu two important pieces of information. Number one, that Yishmael, that he's going to have a Yishmael, right? And Yishmael is going to grow into a great nation. Number two, that ultimately he's going to have a great nation that's going to come from Sari Imenu. And then God gives Avraham Avinu a fascinating piece of information, which is, V'ato tavo el avosecha b'shalom, tikaver b'seva tova. And you will come to your forefathers in peace. You'll be buried in a good old age. And Rashi HaKadosh number 5 asks the obvious question, Aviv, Ovedas Avodah Zorah, V'mevas Sheva. Now again, Avraham Avinu had many things. The one thing he did not have was what? Was Yichus, which by the way is also an incredible lesson. People are so hung up on Yichus. And meanwhile, if you think about it, some of our greatest people did not really have all that much Yichus. So Rashi says, what is going on over here? Right? God is telling Avraham Avinu all these great things. Oh, and by the way, good news. You're going to be reunited with Terach, your father, in the afterlife. And if you're Avraham Avinu, you're probably thinking to yourself, oy vey. Right here, I gave up. What does that mean? Terach wasn't Obed Avodah Zarah. So says Rashi, Elo Lambecha Sha'asa Terach Tshuva. So Rashi, interestingly enough, now Rashi doesn't have a source for this. Rashi backs into this conclusion. So here's what we know. We know that Terach was an idolater. And now we know that God is saying that Avraham Avinu is going where Terach went, which only leads us to one conclusion, which is Terach must have repented. Terach must have done tshuva at some point in time, even though, of course, we don't see that anywhere in the text. And God is conveying that to Avraham Avinu by telling him that he's going to join his father in the afterlife. We're familiar with it. Now, why is this so dramatic? Because we're familiar with the famous Medrash in number 6. The Medrash is actually in Parashas Noach, writes the following. Again, this is the famous story of Avraham Avinu. Rabbi Chiya bar Berei d'Rav Ada, diafo, Terach oveit zlam hoya. Terach was an idol worshiper. Chadzman, not only was he an idol worshiper, by the way, but he was in the idol business. So he says, Chadzman nafak la'asar, hoshiv Avram mocher tachtov. So one time he had to leave his store, and he left Avraham Avinu in charge of the idol store. Hava osi bar inish boy dizadil. Hava amrlei bar kamishninat. So a man comes in, and Avraham Avinu says to the customer, he says, excuse me, sir, how old are you? So the man answers, Vahava amrlei bar chamshinoshisin. I'm 50 or 60. I guess in those days they weren't as marked. And I'm either 50 or 60. So Avraham Avinu says to him, amrlei vay leilahu gabra. Woe to this man. Dahava bar shisin uboy lemiskat lebar yomei. Woe to the man who's 60 years old and yet wants to purchase and worship something that was just made today. V'hava misbayish, the man was very embarrassed. V'holichlo, and he left. The Medrash tells another story. Chadzman, another time when Avraham Avinu was left in the store, what happens? Asachad isisa ta'ina biyada chada pinach desolis. So there was once a woman who came in with an offering of fine flour, an offering for the idols. So what happened? She said, Amrlei, hai lucha karav kod mehun. And she said to Avraham Avinu, listen, do me a favor, offer this fine flour in front of the idols here. So she left. And again, this is the famous Maisa. Avraham Avinu goes in and smashes all of the idols, places the large club in the big idol's hand. And what happens? His father comes back. What happened over here? And he tells his father, you're not going to believe it, Dad. This woman brought in this offering of fine flour. The idols all went nuts. It was supposed to be for the big idol. The little idol started fighting. And the big idol got so upset that he smashed all the small idols. So what happens? So look at the last two lines. Amrlei, last two lines. Amrlei, ma tam afalabi. So Terach says to Avram, why are you playing with me? Right? Why are you saying this to me? I know the truth. I know that this big idol didn't smash anything. So why are you joking around me like this? So Avraham Avinu says to his father, Amalei, v'lo yishmu oznecha, masha picha omer. Father, do your ears not hear what your mouth is saying? So Avraham Avinu was saying to his father, Dad, how do you live with such inconsistency in life? Right? Even you know, it's one thing if you believe it, but you don't even believe it. You know, you want to be a shtark Oved Avodah Zarah, and you really want to worship idolatry, and you want to believe in it? Okay, I mean, it's not okay, but at least you're believing in something. But Father, you're a hypocrite. You don't even believe in these things, and yet again, you're peddling these wares to others. So what happens? The Medrash actually ends in a very dramatic point. Nasbe u'masre l'nimrod. It's at this point in time that Terach hands over his own son to Nimrod to be executed. So that's how, and that's the famous story where Avraham Avinu was saved from the fiery furnace of Nimrod. So this is how the story is. So here's what's interesting. So therefore, the last recorded interaction between Avraham Avinu and Terach in the Medrash is when Terach hands his own flesh and blood, his own son, which by the way, there's a lot to speak about with that also, about when confronted with hypocrisy in life, how people choose to respond. Sometimes when you build up a life based on hypocrisy, even when you know that it's hypocrisy and it's a lie, it's very difficult to back down because you have so much invested in it. Sometimes you just have to keep perpetuating the lie because this is the life you've built for yourself. So Terach hands, it's incomprehensible for us to understand, Terach hands over his own son to Nimrod for execution. So now that we know that Medrash, and now again we have Rashi in number 5 telling us what? That yet Avraham Avinu is going to join Terach in the afterlife. So what happened? Take a look at number 7. Rav Soloveitchik writes, of Soloveitchik has a series of essays about Avraham Avinu. So he writes over here, and the Rav writes in very dramatic terms, paragraph A, Terach so hated Avraham that he denounced him and colluded to have him executed. Later, I don't know how long it took, the same Terach saw the light and realized that Avraham was right and society was wrong, that his past was wrong, that a life dedicated to paganism and idolatry, to a cruel philosophy, to ideals in conflict with the basic principles of decency, was a waste. What a tremendous change in Terach. Now, where does the Rav get this, that there was a change in Terach? Because remember, we did see something dramatic in the text at the end of last week's parsha, which is what? That Terach travels with Avraham Avinu to go to Canaan. Remember, there's a whole issue. We actually spoke about it a couple of years ago. I'm not going to touch on it this year. There's a whole issue with the chronology of events. Because although this week's parsha opens up with Lech Lecha, which seems to be the command to go, we know that what? Already in the end of last week's parsha, the Torah tells us that Avraham, Terach, Sarai already set out to Eretz Canaan, already at the end of Parsha Noach. And it wasn't just Avram and Sarah or Avram and Sarai, but it was Terach along with them. The Rav, really echoing the Mefarshim, understand that why is Terach going to Canaan? Because he had a change of heart. Something happened with Terach. Now what? We don't know. The truth is, maybe he saw that his son was saved from the fiery furnace. Maybe in his old age, he decided to stop living a lie. Whatever it was, Terach has a fundamental change of heart and decides to follow his son along to the strange alien. Now, granted, Terach does not make the full journey. Terach stops along the way. But that doesn't matter for us right now. What matters is he chose to embark upon a new chapter of life with his son. Paragraph B. What prompted Terach to act so strangely? What motivated him to break up his home, uproot his household, abandon luxury, convenience, renown, influence, and power, and become a wanderer, an immigrant, a strange alien? Surely the great revolution in Terach's thinking was precipitated by doubts, soul-searching, and reappraisal. In a word, it was a transvaluation, paragraph C, of a Baal Tshuva that was responsible for the decision to abandon Ur in Chaldea or Kastim and start out for a primitive land where he planned to begin a new life. So says the Rav, we don't know what happened. And that's what's intriguing over here. We don't know what happened. We don't know what caused this metamorphosis, but here's what we know. We know that the former idol store owner who turned over his own son to be executed for essentially idolatrous heresy is now abandoning everything and heading out to Canaan. When the Rav uses this word of transvaluation, the Rav uses that term to mean comprehensive cathartic change. There are times when a person could totally change their identity. See, when we think about change, often what we think about is changing aspects of our personalities, changing behaviors. But there is such a thing called transvaluation where a person literally, I become a different person. I'm not the same individual. Says Rav, that's what happened with Terach. Paragraph D. God commanded Avraham to emigrate from Ur Kasdim after Terach had undergone the great dramatic change and had decided to give up everything and go forth to a new world. Whether Terach knew of Avraham's rendezvous with God in the fertile fields of Chaldea under the starry night or under the starry night sky is hard to ascertain. Equally difficult to answer is the question of whether Avraham ever told Terach about the instructions he received from God pertaining to the journey to an unknown country. However, all that is irrelevant. What is important is the coincidence of revelation and free decision. Listen to the Rav's words over here. This is so profound. When the command of Lech Lecha came and Avraham began to pack his bags, he realized to his great surprise that his father's bags had already been packed long before. Father and son, hitherto locked in mortal combat, joined hands and together started out on the great march to Canaan, away from the hustling and bustling cities of Chaldea, away from the highly developed country, away from a magical, well-organized, and disciplined social order. So there's something amazing that's unfolding over here, says the Rav. Can you imagine this? Avraham Avinu locked in that theological combat. It's not just theological. His father gave him over to be killed. Now, ultimately, Avraham Avinu sees that his father is coming along, that his father actually is joining him, not just for the geographic journey, but for the spiritual journey as well. And perhaps herein lies the incredible test of Lech Lecha. So you have to understand something. What does a child want more than anything in life? To be accepted by their parent. Right? And the truth is, it doesn't even really matter how old you are. Everybody wants parental acceptance and parental approval. And the truth is, we know when we don't get that in life, the truth is, even as we become adults and we're successful and stand on our own, it hampers us. It handicaps us. We walk around, it doesn't have to handicap us, but it leaves its mark on us. So understand what's unfolding over here. Avraham Avinu and his father, to say that they didn't get along would be putting it mildly. Right? Avraham and his father were bitter enemies, not from Avraham Avinu's side, but from Terach's side. Terach saw his son as a threat to so many different things. And again, to the point, like I've said five times already, he can't underestimate the power. He handed his own son over to be killed. And now something amazing happens. Finally, father and son have the ability to forge a relationship. And what happens in the moment when father and son finally have a little bit of common ground to stand on? What happens in the first, like, there's the possibility that father and son maybe can have a relationship with one another. What happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, you have to leave. Lech Lecha. The moment that Avraham Avinu finally had the chance for a normal, normative relationship with his father, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm sorry, Avraham, but you have to go on. I need you to accomplish something else. Terach stopped in Haran. I need you to continue on to Canaan. And perhaps, according to this approach, this is the test of Lech Lecha. That sometimes, in order to find out who you are, and sometimes in order to accomplish the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs you to accomplish, you have to be willing to let go of the things that are holding you back. And sometimes the things that hold you back are things or are people that you love very much. But those things and those people are not going to let you get to where you need to go. And so you have to find the strength, as difficult and as painful as it may be, to cut ties in order that you could move forward. And that's what's unfolding over here. Avraham Avinu has to make a choice between being normal and having a shot at rehabilitating a very strained relationship with his father versus actualizing his destiny. And the truth is, to be honest, Avraham Avinu doesn't really have a choice. That's the real. I mean, he could disobey God, but at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking directly to him. But perhaps this is the real. The test of Lech Lecha is a relationship test. At the moment when things begin to become normalized within the context of the family, Avraham Avinu is forced to cut. Because remember, when Avraham Avinu leaves his father, that is the last time that he ever sees his father. Avraham Avinu saw his father at that moment in heart, and that was it. They were apparently reunited in the afterlife, but that was it. Herein lies the test of Lech Lecha. You finally have a chance at normalcy, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm sorry. Part of becoming great, or I should say differently, the only way to become great is to learn how to let go of the things that ultimately are going to hold you back. And ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt that an ongoing relationship, even with a rehabilitated Terach, would have ultimately hampered and handicapped Avraham Avinu's ability to come into his own. Lech Lecha is not just a geographic comment of where you have to go, but Lech Lecha is also a commandment of disconnection from family, because these individuals are holding you back from self-actualization, which then leads us to our third approach. So actually, this is a beautiful piece by Rabbi Sacks. So Chief Rabbi Sir Jonathan Sacks writes in his Covenant and Conversation a very interesting idea. So Rabbi Sacks quotes from Karl Marx, Baruch Spinoza, and Sigmund Freud. So I gave you the three good Jewish boys. I gave you the biographies over here on the bottom of the page. And Rabbi Sacks says something that is nothing short of brilliant. So Rabbi Sacks writes over here in paragraph A, 8A, Marx. Karl Marx said that man is a product of social forces. Again, you'll obviously Karl Marx is the father of Marxism, which you'll read that. We're not going to get into a shiur about that, but you'll read the descriptions below. Marx said that man is a product of social forces, themselves shaped by the interests of the ruling class, the owners of property, which the most significant is land. Therefore, God said to Abraham, leave your land. So what Rabbi Sacks is positing is, leave your land is not just simply a geographic statement. leave your land represents leave the social forces that define you. There are social forces in life that try to define who we are, what we are, what we can become. Lech lecha me'artzecha. Leave the social forces that have until now imprinted upon you, leave them behind. Paragraph B. Spinoza said that man is made by innate instincts and biological drives given by birth, positing a genetic determinism. So Spinoza said that, listen, who you are is who you are. We're each born with certain predispositions, certain proclivities. We're good at certain things. We have certain drives, certain desires. And whatever you're born with, that you can't escape that. Those innate behaviors, those make you who you are. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Avram Avinu? Therefore, God said to Avram, leave the circumstances of your birth. Mimoladitcha. You are not defined by how you are born. Yes, we're all born with certain predispositions. We're all born with certain inclinations, but we are not defined by those. We have the ability to transcend those. And finally, paragraph C. Freud said that we are the way we are because of the traumas of childhood, the influence of our early years, our relationships and rivalries with our parents, especially our father. Therefore, God said to Abraham, leave your father's house. So Sachs goes on. He says, freedom is not a given of the human situation. Like the other distinctive achievements of the spirit, art, literature, music, poetry, it needs training, discipline, apprenticeship, the most demanding routines, and the most painstaking attention to detail. No one composed a great novel or symphony without years of preparation. That is why most theories of human behavior are simply false. They claim that we are either free or not. Either we have a choice or our behavior is causally determined. Freedom is not an either or. It is a process. It begins with dependence and only slowly, gradually does it become liberty. The ability to stand back from the pressures and influences upon us, and act in response to educated conscience, judgment, wisdom, moral literacy. It is in short a journey, Avraham's journey, paragraph E. That is the deep meaning of the words lech lecha. Normally they are translated as go, leave, travel. What they really mean is lech, journey, lecha, to yourself. Leave behind all external influences that turn you into a victim of circumstances beyond your control and travel inward to the self. It is there, only there, that freedom is born, practiced, and sustained. Such a profound insight. So explains Rabbi Sachs, that lech lecha mi'artzecha, leave the societal pressures behind. Me'artzecha, moladitcha, leave your birth predispositions behind. Uyvesavicha, leave the trauma and the baggage of your family behind. Or in other words, what is that Kaddish Baruch Hu telling Avram Avinu? Kaddish Baruch Hu is telling Avram Avinu that you will become the man you choose to become. The life you will lead is the life you choose to create for yourself. Yes, we are all influenced by many factors around us, but we decide how we allow those factors, both those that are internal as well as those that are external, to ultimately influence the people we are and the lives we lead. And herein lies, according to Sachs, the real test of Lech Lecha. What Lech Lecha really meant for Avraham Avinu is, I don't want you to live life as a victim. Take responsibility for what you do, how you do it, and how your life turns out. Don't blame your failures on anyone else. And therefore, if you don't do that, by the way, you could claim responsibility for all of your tests. Now, why is this such, for all of your success? Now, why is it such a difficult test? Because the truth is, it is so much easier to live life according to Marx, Spinoza, and Freud. Why? Because then I'm not responsible really for how things turn out. You know, my father didn't play ball with me on Sundays. So because he didn't play ball with me, I am lacking paternal affection. And that's why. What more can you expect from me? Or I grew up, again, with societal factors that were just not appropriate. Or again, I was born this way, right? What do you want? You want me to overcome this particular trait? What can I do? This is who I am. People say this all the time. I have a bad temper. That's who I am. These are cop-outs. It's so easy that I don't have to take responsibility for advancing myself and advancing my life because there are circumstances that are simply beyond my control. Therefore, says Rabbi Sachs, this ultimately is the true test of Lech Lecha. The test of Lech Lecha, it's a good ringtone. The true test of Lech Lecha is, are you willing to take responsibility for your life? Until now, who you were and what you would become was going to be determined by outside factors, because that's how most of society lives. Lech Lecha means, are you willing to leave societal, familial, and birth factors behind and take responsibility for the nature, trajectory, and quality of your life? And my friends, lest you think that that is an easy test to pass, it's not. Because most people love to have something else to blame their misfortunes on. It is so much easier to say, there are other circumstances beyond me, because it releases me from the obligation to be successful. Because success, how are you going to define success? Success is not in my hands. Lech Lecha means have the strength and the courage to take responsibility for the quality of life and the quality of person you are, and leave behind all of the influences that try to shape who we are, and take responsibility for shaping yourself. And this finally brings us to our last approach. If you take a look at number 9, it's actually quite interesting. So here I've actually quoted to you from the Sichos, from the Shiurim of Harav Tzvi Yehuda Kook. Rav Tzvi Yehuda was the son of Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kook. So Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kook was, of course, the first chief rabbi of Israel. This was pre-state Israel. And his son, Rav Tzvi Yehuda, was also a great Torah luminary. So was the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Merkaz HaRav. And really continuing in his father's footsteps, was an exceptional thinker. So Rav Tzvi Yehuda has some insights, some essays on the Parsha. He himself, they were written by his students. And he says something that I think is quite dramatic. Take a look at number 9, 9a. Umikan laha'ora hayidua v'hamifursemes b'divrei kodesh shalam maharal b'netzach Yisrael. So Rav Tzvi Yehuda quotes the Maharal. So Maharal is netzach Yisrael, perek yud aleph. Lo nisker b'torah sh'ar avinu hayot tzadik. So Maharal makes an amazing observation. It never says in the Torah that Avraham Avinu was righteous. It never calls him a tzaddik. Now, what the Maharal is also pointing out is, by the way, that Lech Lecha is so strange. Because if you look at the way normally our biblical figures develop, is what happens. We hear a little bit about them before God actually speaks to them. So, for example, already, let's take Noach, for example. At the end of Parshas Bereishis, as man is already experiencing this downward spiral, what do we hear? Noach found favor in the eyes of God. So we're introduced to Noach as a personality, and then afterwards God speaks to Noach. What's strange about Avram Avinu? Boom, like a divine cold call, right? Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu just out of nowhere plucks this guy out of obscurity. We know nothing about him, except we know a little bit about his lineage. We know that he's Terach's son. We haven't heard anything about him. And forget about that. We have not been told one redeeming thing about this man. And in fact, we see his actions are quite pious, but the Torah itself never tells us that Avraham Avinu is a tzaddik. The contrast, it says the Maharal, Lu'umas Noach etzlo nisgar shehayah tzaddik. Contrast this with Noach, because what happens by Noach? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says what? Torah says, doesn't just say what, he was a tzaddik, he was a tamim. So again, all these accolades for Noach, and yet what? No mention of the righteousness of Avraham Avinu. What's going on? So Rav Tzvi Yehuda says something amazing. Yesh vilmot lo rak mehatochen shala Torah, ela gam mehasignon shala. So Rav Tzvi Yehuda says something amazing. He says, when you learn Chumash, it's not just enough to learn from the words, but you have to learn from the signon, the style. Meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the greatest author of all time. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu authored this incredible thing called the Torah. And there is a divine style. There is a rhythm to the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes. He says, Mevar Shama Maharal, Shevekavanasa Ha'elima HaTorah, V'gonza Esid Kazo Sh'Avraham Avinu. The Torah purposely obscures and hides the righteousness of Avram. Meaning, what does that mean? The Torah never calls Avraham Avinu a tzaddik. Why not? Why? It's by design. Ki inyono Shal Avraham Avinu, Eno Maschio Mitzid Kaso HaPratit. Because Avraham Avinu's greatness lies not in his personal piety, in his personal righteousness. Eitzel chasidi omas ha'olam, hagadbos shelohem hi pratit ishit, mimato lemalo. Mikoachis amtsus viskatros anoshis. Excuse me. So by the nations of the world, when they have great people like Noach, so how does Noach become great? Noach becomes great because he works on himself. He works on himself to his credit. He works on himself. Again, there is this tzidkoso, this gadlus protis ishis, this individualistic greatness. Noach becomes great, and because he becomes great as an individual, what happens? Ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're my man. But look at paragraph B. Lo kach es Avram Avinu. This is such a dramatic statement. That's not how it worked with Avram. How did it work with Avram Avinu? Gidulaso mofia milamala limata. As opposed to a Noach, whose greatness begins here on the earth, it begins with him, and it ascends to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avram Avinu's greatness begins with God and comes down to Avram. What does that mean? He says, Inyono maschil min hashamayim, mikoach yitzira elokis, shal neshamaso hamiyuchedes. Avram Avinu's beginning already began while his neshama was still in Shamayim. Avram Avinu crafted and created a special Abrahamitic neshama. And he put that into a guf. Bechira elokis, kemo shekosuv ata bacharta me'avram. Ratzilda says something amazing. Do you know why there's never any mention of Avram Avinu's piety? Because the Torah would have told us that Avram Avinu was pious, then what would be the logical conclusion? Why did God choose Avram Avinu? Because he was pious. So Avram Avinu reached a certain level, and God chose him. So that's not what happened. God chose Avram Avinu from the beginning. Avram Avinu was marked for greatness while his neshama was still in Shamayim. It had nothing to do with whatever he would achieve over here. He was already predetermined. He was predestined. His neshama was already set aside to accomplish something great, to lay the cornerstone for a people. And the same way that Avram Avinu was chosen, that chosenness, that chosen kite that began with Avram Avinu, comes all the way down to us now. Mimenu, it began with Avram, va'ad elenu. And it extends to us to this very day. What do we say? We say to God, you chose us. You sold mitziusin hu ata, kore adoros merosh, ha'erech shalonu, hu gezeira elokis, pikuda elokis. The greatness of Avraham Avinu, by extension, the greatness of Klal Yisrael, is not a result of any particular accomplishment, but rather what? It is a decision made by God. So Rav Tzihudah says something that I think is revolutionary. That you know, everybody always contrasts Avram with Noach. Well, was Noach greater? It's very simple. You know what the distinction is? Noach was mimata limalo. Noach's greatness began with an individual, an ishi pratit, an individual greatness, and that's it was chosen by God. Avram Avinu was chosen from God from the beginning. Before he even did anything, Avram Avinu was marked for greatness. He was chosen by the Ribono Shel Olam. It says Rav Yehuda, the same way that God chose Avram, that same divine choice extends to the descendants of Avram as well. In fact, if you take a look at number 10. So later on in the parasha, what happens? Later on in the parasha, Torah says, Bayomahu karas Hashem es Avraham bris lemor, lezaracha nasati es haaretz hazos minar mitzrayim, va'ad hanar hagadol nahar pras. So interesting enough, later on in the parasha, so the Torah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a covenant with Avram Avinu. And what was the covenant? That he's going to give Avram the land of Canaan. Rav Tzvi Yehuda, again in number 11, says something amazing. He says, Mitoch kach nifgashim bekrisas bris Hashem Avram Avinu, hachazeres kamapamim, bayomu karas Hashem bris es Avram, bayomu karas Hashem es Avram bris, vikarosimu abris, yesh liskar hetev, Shelo muskar b'shum makom, she'Avraham karas bris im Hashem, rak she'Hashem karas bris im Avraham. So Rav Tzvi makes an amazing observation. The Torah tells us multiple times that God made a covenant with Abraham, but yet what? It never says that Avraham made a bris with God. Interestingly enough, when you have a covenant is an agreement. Agreement requires what?
Two parties.
But amazingly enough, says Rav Yehuda, we never see it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the bris of Avram, and Avram accepts the bris of God. No reciprocal bris. V'chein hu l'gabi Yisrael v'Torah. So Rav Yehuda says, It's the same thing with us in Torah. Ki apia dvar ma'ila, karasi itcha bris ve'es Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us by Torah, because I've made a covenant with you. Paragraph B. Gemara ma'askira pasuk zeh b'nyan Torah shebapeh. Lo kasu b'shul makam shanachnu karasnu brisim Hashem. Elo sheribono shel olam hu shekaras bris itanu. The issue is that by Matan Torah it's a little bit different because we did do a little bit of a reciprocal bris. We did say Na'aseh v'nishma. But in terms of the actual bris itself, the bris is always one direction. It always comes from God to Avram, from God to us, and yet we never make a reciprocal bris back with God. Habrisu emes elokis muchletes hakayemes la'ad ulanetzach mitzachim ki bris olamis kosmologit kimei olam kimei hashamayim ala aretz. So what Cook says, because you know what the bris is? To a certain degree, what the bris is saying is, Kodesh Baruch Hu saying to us, I've chosen you. I've chosen you. You don't have to respond if you want to be chosen or not be chosen. I've chosen you. And because I've chosen you, that's just the way that it is. He goes on. He says, Titochin ba'am Yisrael, mitzius shal anoshim tzadikim orshan. It doesn't matter if we're righteous or if we're wicked. V'chimatzavim shorim shal adoros. Because the truth is, whether we're righteous or wicked, those are temporal states. Those fluctuate, those change. Bris hi klau. O uvda koleles sidre doros. Bris hi mitzius elokis muchletes. So ultimately, again, says what see you, there's something absolutely amazing. Do you know what's unfolding over here in Parshas Lech Lecha? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going ahead, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Avraham Avinu, I've chosen you. There's no discussion about Avraham Avinu's righteousness because Avraham Avinu's righteousness does not even come into the equation. God didn't choose Avraham because he was righteous. Why did God choose Avraham? Why? Because he decided to. It was a unilateral divine decision to choose Avraham to be the father of the greatest nation. I'm going to take all questions later. On the face of the world. That was a unilateral divine decision. And it didn't matter if Avraham Avinu wanted it or didn't want it, he was chosen. His tzidkus, his relative personal righteousness, is absolutely irrelevant. God forges a covenant with Avraham, and Avraham, you don't have to reciprocate. It doesn't matter. Because once I've chosen you, then by definition, you are chosen irrespective of your reciprocity. That's why, again, you ever wonder, how could it be that we've had some pretty dark times as a people? I mean, not from what others have done to us, but what we've done to ourselves. We have had periods of time where the majority of the Jewish people are worshiping idolatry. We have times where we treated each other terribly, treated God terribly, and yet what? And yet we are still a Kodesh Baruch Hu's people. Why? Is that that's the nature of Bris. Bris is an everlasting covenant that is not dependent on the personal circumstances of any individual or even of a people. It's an everlasting reality. And I think now we understand in a different way the test of Lech Lecha. The test of Lech Lecha is the test of being chosen. Because you see, it sounds so nice to say that we're chosen. Beautiful, wonderful. Except you understand that when you are chosen, being chosen comes with a lot of baggage. Namely, that suddenly once you're chosen, it means that you have a higher calling. That once you're chosen, it means that your life can't just be about you. That when you're chosen, it ultimately means that I have to figure out what is it that the Ribono Shel Olam needs me to do, and not simply what do I want to do. I've quoted this a number of times. The Moshe Chaim Litzato, in the first chapter of Mesilas Yesharim Ramchal, the first chapter of Mesilas Yesharim writes, that a person has to ask themselves a fundamental question. What's the fundamental question? Ma chovaso ba'olamo. What is my obligation in this world? So I've quoted a number of times that the Ramchal, you know, it's interesting because we always ask ourselves this question. We think we ask ourselves this question. What do we say? What do I want to do with my life? You have to understand something. The Jew doesn't ask him or herself, what do I want to do with my life? The Jew asks him or herself, what does God need me to do in this life? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need from me? And you know what the scary part is? Sometimes what I want to do and what God needs me to do or wants me to do, if you're lucky, they're the same thing. But very often in life, they are not. Very often in life, they are dramatically separate things. What I want to do, oh, so many things I want to do. I want to relax. I want to enjoy. I want to go on vacation. I want to take up another hobby. Yeah. You know, I want to do this. I want to do that. Or maybe I want to work in this profession. I don't want to do that. And then I say, you know what? But I'm chosen. I'm chosen. There's a bris with me. You're right. Nobody asked me. Nobody asked me for my opinion on it. But it doesn't. I'm chosen. And because I am chosen, that requires me to live life with an eye towards my chosen kind, with an eye ultimately realize that because I'm chosen, I have some greater destiny than what I want to do when I grow up, than what makes me life is not about, excuse me. And this is very countercultural. But life is not about what makes you happy. The truth is, to be honest, it doesn't really matter if you're happy. What matters is if you're productive and if you're fulfilling your destiny. And the truth is, they go hand in hand. Because generally, when people are not happy, it's generally because they don't have a lot of meaning in their life. It's because deep down they know that they're not really doing what they should be doing or everything they can be doing. Happiness for the Jew only stems from one thing: accepting and embracing the fact that I am chosen and recognizing that my life, my lifestyle, and what I do with my limited years in this world has to reflect my chosen status. And perhaps this is the very test of Lech Lecha. Because again, Avraham Avinu now has to be plucked from obscurity and has to be told, ta-da, you're chosen. And by the way, you see, we're at least lucky. Because although we're chosen together. Right? We're chosen together. Okay, as a nation, we're chosen. We have the comfort and security of not being Avraham Avinu is chosen. One man from the entire population of humanity to stand separate and distinct. You know, Avraham Avinu is called Avraham Ivri. And there are many reasons for that. One of the reasons that Rashi quotes is why Ivri, Avra also means side. Rashi Chilich paints the picture that whereas the rest of the world was on one side of the river, Avraham Avinu had to stand alone on the other. It's a great privilege to be chosen, but it's not easy to be chosen. When you're chosen, sometimes you have to give up a lot of yourself. Sometimes you have to sacrifice a lot of your own personal dreams and aspirations for the sake of the cloud, for the sake of the nation, for the sake of advancing the important and necessary divine agenda. So being chosen is a privilege, but being chosen comes with incredible baggage, incredible difficulty, and incredible challenge. And perhaps this is the test of Avraham Avinu. And the truth is, it's a test that we live with to this very day. We know, we all know that it's not easy being chosen. We all know that as much as we're the Mamleches Kohanim, we're a nation of kings, a Gai Kadosh, a holy nation, it comes with incredible baggage, both national baggage, personal baggage as well. The test of Avraham Avinu was, are you going to see the baggage or will you be able to see the privilege of being chosen? So if we bring this all together, what we come out with is, I think, four very profound insights and understandings into the first test of Avraham Avinu. So first of all, now we know that even though, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, you're going to be great, it's going to be wonderful, you're going to be wealthy, you're going to be set up, you're going to be known, you're going to be famous, you're going to have a great nation, we now understand why Lech Lecha was really a profound test, either according to the Kli Yakar, and now we also understand why this test resonates with such incredible importance for us. According to the Kli Yakar, reason number one it was a test was why? Change. Change is difficult. This is the first, or really it's the second example of dramatic change, leaving Adam and Chava out of this for just a moment. But Avraham Avinu is being asked to undertake dramatic change. And change, even with guaranteed results, is still difficult. Ma'asa avos simul labanim. The same way that change was a challenge for Avraham Avinu, so we should accept and acknowledge the fact and not feel bad when change is difficult for us because sometimes we are faced with great opportunities that we know are wonderful, but yet for some reason it's so difficult to change. That's okay, because change ultimately is difficult. Change, even if it's guaranteed to be great, is difficult. But yet, the same way that Avraham Avinu overcame that natural human resistance to change, we must try to do the same. The second approach we saw was the approach of the Rav. That ultimately what's happening over here, the test of Lech Lecha was what? That sometimes you have to identify the things that are holding you back in order to move forward and grow and self-actualize and become the person you can become. And the difficult part is, sometimes the things that are holding me back are people that I love very much. Sometimes they're things that are very close, near, and dear to me. And often in life, people choose to remain tethered to those things, even though those things weigh me down and prevent me from self-actualizing. Avraham Avinu had the strength to leave behind a father who in reality, he just got to know. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, if you continue this relationship, you'll be Avram, and you'll be a great guy, but you'll never become Avraham Avinu. And the same way that Avraham Avinu was courageous enough to identify the things holding him back and to detach himself from them, we must find that same courage as well. And then approach number three, we started by Sachs. So often, we like to blame outside factors. The test of Lech Lecha was, it's so easy to blame outside factors for everything that goes on in life. Be it social factors, familial factors, birth factors. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the test of Lech Lecha was, will you take responsibility for your existence? Stop blaming everything else and take responsibility. And if things don't go right, guess what? The buck of your life stops with you. That's the way it works. But the truth is, it's very empowering. Because the moment you stop blaming others, the moment you stop putting the control in the hands of others, is the moment that you can begin to build a beautiful life for yourself. And finally, we saw in approach number four, that the test of Avraham Avinu, according to Rav Tzvi Yehuda, was the test of being chosen. Although it sounds beautiful and it sounds wonderful, it's not easy to be different. It's not easy to be chosen. It's not easy to live life, not focusing on what I want, but focusing on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs from me. And the greatness of Avraham Avinu, the test of Avraham Avinu was that, who knows what his personal aspirations were? Who knows what he wanted to become? Maybe he wanted to be a farmer, right? Maybe he wanted to be a scientist. Maybe he wanted to be, who knows what he wanted to be? But one thing is clear, that he never, as a little boy, he never dreamed, yeah, I'm going to grow up and be the father of a great nation. That wasn't his aspiration. That wasn't what he wanted. We have nothing to indicate that this is life he ever dreamed of. He probably had other aspirations and other desires for his life. But the greatness of Avraham Avinu was, he understood that when you're chosen, it's not about what you want, but it's about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs for you. And that same message resonates for us, his offspring. That when we approach life and figure what we want to do and we grow up, the question, the difficult question we have to ask ourselves is ultimately not what do I want, but I have to try to figure out if I'm indeed chosen, then what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu really need me to accomplish in this world? All right, we'll stop over here.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Moshe was also at the burning bush.
He was also chosen from birth, like a craftsman.